The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning and happy Memorial Day weekend to all of you, my DMV listeners. We're so grateful that you joined me. If you missed any of our shows, look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. That's Pointing You Home on Spotify or iHeartRadio. You can listen to our podcasts anytime. Just subscribe there, and then you'll automatically be able to listen to the shows going forward. If you're on your computer, all you have to do is Google Eric Stewart Group Radio to listen to us anytime you want from your computer. And look up any of our free guides. One is called the Market Ready Guide, which will help you get ready to sell your home. It's free at ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com for our free Market Ready Guide and our free Right Sizing Guide. I'll talk more about that in the Senior Solutions Show later on this morning. Hey, things to see and do in Bethesda. Well, in Bethesda, if you haven't been to Bethesda, Bethesda is one of the hottest development sites like Arlington. It has just grown and become more and more popular. There are new buildings being built all the time, brand new buildings that are being built where old ones have been torn down. There are Cuban rhythms. According to legend, a certain kind of magic, luck, and serendipity led to the creation of the Buena Vista Social Club. I got to tell you, I love the Buena Vista Social Club. I worked with a couple out of McLean, Virginia, who are Cuban, and he is just a delight. In fact, his father was the ambassador to Cuba back in World War II, at the time of World War II, under Harry Truman. And I got turned on to Cuban music many years ago, but really became interested in the Buena Vista Social Club, that landmark 1997 album that helped all of us get introduced to the worlds of the world of the 40s and 50s Cuban music. Well, musicians from Mali were supposed to join a group of Cuban musicians to record an album, but when the Africans couldn't obtain visas, the Cuban group had to improvise, creating a multi-generational orchestra that included some performers who had retired long ago. That album, which was recorded over 6 days in a vintage 1950s Cuban recording studio, sold millions of copies worldwide. Strathmore hopes to rekindle that magic at El Gran Festival de Cubana. It's a concert that will bring together some of the musicians, the veteran musicians from the Buena Vista Social Club and other celebrated Cuban performers. Highly recommend your attendance. That's June the 29th. Well, you know, on Memorial Day, we're all enjoying a wonderful time of reflection, which includes remembering the men and women who've served our country over the past hundreds of years here in America. Even today, there are those who go off to serve our country who don't come home. Make sure you thank a veteran. Tomorrow is a wonderful day for you to visit downtown Washington, D.C., and go to the monuments. Each year, I like to go to the Veterans Memorial, that is for the Vietnam War, for World War II, and other memorials for other wars. Why? Because I'm often greeted by vets who served, who are there to answer questions about their experience. Some are vets who lived and stayed in America during the war, but just want to share what their view was of the war at that time. Others were actually in battle. Last year, I went down and I met the oldest living American soldier from World War II, who has since deceased, unfortunately. But it was such a treat for me to go and meet a wonderful vet of World War II. I highly recommend, and I'll say this again later on in the show, on the second show today, the Senior Solutions Show, but The Band of Brothers is a wonderful show to watch this weekend. It's a 10-part series that HBO created back in 2000. If you're looking for something to splurge and binge on, consider picking up Band of Brothers. It covers real men's stories in World War II, acted out by great actors like Damian Lewis and others. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. Your spring landscaping plan. Well, here we are. We're just about to get into summertime. There are some do-it-yourself projects. If you enjoy the beauty of your yard, just make sure you regularly mow your yard and consider how you mow it. It's actually healthy for a yard to be mowed in different directions each time it's mowed. So think about those yards that you and I have seen, the ones where they're done across to the left and then it's cut back to the right another time, and so it's got this beautiful pattern on it. If you want to give your yard a great look, but also give it a great texture and provide good health, consider not bagging, but letting the clippings to fall, and consider cutting from different directions. You also might want to think about scarifying your yard. And I'm not talking about Halloween decorations, okay? Scarifying or dethatching removes dead grass and other items from your lawn. This is actually a good time to gently rake, as the grass is growing healthy and it's getting thick, to gently rake out the old thatch out of your yawn, that says a lot about where I need another cup of coffee here, Ken. Okay. So make sure you water your yard. And remember, once the yard starts turning brown, it's almost too late to really get the lawn to stay healthy. So give it a little bit. Areas of your lawn, especially near concrete or asphalt, like sidewalks and driveways, under large trees and on slopes, can take on a dark, silvery, almost smoky green haze. And if you think about it, you want to make sure you water areas that are going to get hotter by roadways or are going to be trampled on by visitors. Make sure you keep the water flowing, but not necessarily too much. Hey, in addition to that, if you're looking for an investment opportunity, there are opportunity zones for real estate investors. Now, out of the country's 8,700 opportunity zones that were created as a part of the 2017 Tax Cuts and the Jobs Act, that was from December of 2017, 22 of them have seen the number of households with an income over $200,000 grow by at least 10 percentage points. The study, called Wind at Your Back, Finding the Top 50 Opportunity Zones for Real Estate Investment, looked at the increased presence of high-income households between 2000 and 2017 to determine where economic appreciation was occurring at the fastest rate. And their analysis of real estate values has shown that incomes and wealth correlate strongly with real estate value. In fact, most Americans actually see an increase in their overall wealth through long-term real estate investment. Think of the house that you bought, if you bought it 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, how it has gone up in a value and kept pace and even exceeded inflation oftentimes. There are places in our country where you could invest into opportunity zones and see a nice uptick in your long-term return. In the local DMV, we can help you at the Eric Seward Group of Long & Foster to identify and invest in opportunity zones. I want to mention to you, Washington, D.C. has seen a 14.3% increase. Now, that all this means is that there are places which have been identified by the federal government as areas where you could purchase and invest in real estate in that location. There are tax credits that are given to you by buying there, because oftentimes these areas have been depressed. There's been a lack of interest in those areas, either because of demographic or poverty or safety concerns or who knows why. So if there are more incentives financially to invest, there's more likelihood that that area will regentrify, because it is a good value, an even better value, because not only is it cheap to buy there, but the government is going to stand by your purchase by giving you tax credits. Something to consider. Helen Flynn joins me in the studio today. I'm glad that she could join me a little bit early for our Senior Solutions show. So I've asked her to join us on the Pointing You Home show as well. And good morning, Helen.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, creating environmentally friendly landscapes with sustainable gardening. I was at the Fairfax County Government Center on behalf of the Mather, which is a retirement community, maybe 3 weeks ago. It was very interesting. There was a presentation by a group trying to get a law change to allow homeowners to put gardens in their front yard. Okay, because apparently, and I think this is true among most neighborhoods, I never really thought about it, but you don't really see gardens in the front yards of homes, except for like out in the country when you're driving down 29 on your way to Liberty University or heading to Charlottesville. You see these big pieces of land and somebody's got a farm and they've got a tomato patch right in the front yard. You know why they don't do that?
Do I know why?
Yes.
Probably zoning things or homeowners associations or...
You're right on both counts.
Yeah.
So because of zoning prohibitions, the front of a house is a very important part of the neighborhood appeal. So I heard both sides of this conversation and this appeal to allow for a zoning change. It was punted because there wasn't enough information, but it definitely did not meet the criteria of even average approval by the existing board. So, in other words, most of them were like, I don't think so, but they didn't actually make a firm decision. But we had two sides of that equation. Think about this. Sustainable living by having fruits and vegetables grown in your front yard. Everyone can have the same size plot. In other words, it's dictated. You could have a 100-square-foot plot in your front yard, and everybody else in your neighborhood could too, so you could actually grow vegetables. Imagine if your backyard faces north and you get no sun and the only place is in the front, then you know you could say, hey, I want to grow my own vegetables. Well, the zoning laws don't allow for it. So sustainable gardening is definitely, we're going to start to see changes. We're going to start to see pushes, especially as homeowners are looking at the tax bills increasing on their properties, where homeowners are going to find alternatives and they're going to push for their rights, which would include potentially gardening. I don't know about the front yard, but certainly the backyard. Have you seen sustainable gardening?
I haven't.
Yeah, I really haven't seen a lot of it. We'll see what happens going down the road here. Helen and I are going to talk about how to avoid fraud scams when we get back after our brief break. You can download or listen to our podcast anytime you like on Spotify or iHeartRadio. Just look for Pointing You Home, and that's the Eric Stewart Shows. A little bit later, we have our Seniors Solution Show, which is all about getting over the age of 50 and how to live your best life. Included in today's show, we'll talk about dogs and the importance of having good dogs as you are an empty nester, and even some suggestions on what kind of dogs you might want to consider. How to avoid scams when I get back.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome back. You know, it's Memorial Day. I've got to say, Ken Hunter was just complaining about me talking about fraud on Memorial Day weekend show, but I want you to know that I care more about you than he does.
Hold on a minute.
I love you.
I'm just sitting here in the back pushing buttons.
You know, and you should have been pushing my button.
I don't need to. I know which ones to push.
Right, so don't put them. If you all of a sudden cannot hear me, it's because Ken has pushed the mute. No longer hear what I'm saying.
He's a little bit long-winded, and his jokes are terrible.
All in good fun, Memorial Day weekend. So real estate wire fraud is real, and it almost happened to me. This is Allie Yale. Okay, she covers housing and real estate. Let me tell you, I'll set the stage. It all started with an email. Just days before she closed on a home, she got a message from her escrow officer, like the settlement company, or at least somebody pretending to be her. The closing costs needed to be wired to the title company right away, this person said, or our closing date would be pushed back. Considering the 6 weeks I'd spent waiting to close on the property, not to mention the disdain I had for our current rental home, the message sent my heart racing, she said. The font was right. The signature was right. There was even a CC to my real estate agent, but something seemed off. A closer look at the header revealed the problem. Each email address, one for my agent, one for my mortgage broker, and one for my escrow officer, was a single character off. It was a fake. A thief had tried to steal nearly $60,000 and my dream home right from under me, but my case was far from unique. Thousands of unwitting home buyers fall victim to these fraud schemes every year. These schemes, and as this industry gets more and more digitized, the number of victims and their losses only grows. And according to the FBI, Helen, Americans lost nearly $150 million to real estate scams just last year. And scams in the industry have jumped more than 1,000% just since 2015. And real estate is one of the top victims of malware attacks in the country.
I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. And our settlement companies that we work with and the lenders that we work with are taking more and more precautions with our clients in terms of their closings and their deposits and so forth. I had a couple last year call me from the bank saying our bank teller isn't allowing us to send the $3,000 to Long and Foster. And I said, what $3,000 to Long and Foster? And they had gotten a letter with Long and Foster branding on it and so forth. And they thought it was for real and went to the bank. And fortunately, that was caught before it happened. But we all go to great pains to avoid that kind of thing with our clients. It's really become rampant.
In 2017, a Washington, D.C. couple lost $1.5 million in a phishing scam that compromised their title company's email server. And last year, a Colorado man lost $56,000 in a down payment. Just last week, a tech executive lost $260,000, and the tales of financial heartache go on. Read your emails carefully, very, very carefully. If you look to see who it's coming from and verify that the email, sometimes at the top of your email, it'll say it's coming from Joe Schmo, and you know Joe. And you think, okay, Joe's sending me an email. Open up, look for details of the email signature to make sure. Oftentimes, they'll take where it would be joeschmo@gmail.com. They'll change it to joe1schmo@gmail.com. Some small difference that you're not going to recognize necessarily unless you're just alert. So we're bringing this up because we want you to be alert. In real estate, it's very important that we are alert to how often scamming is taking place.
So many of the phone scams are targeting seniors with your grandchild is in the hospital or your grandchild is wherever and need you to send money right away. And they're also the ones that are so engaging on the phone and so realistic that the wisest, smartest people are getting pulled into these things.
Now, I want to take a little test here with you, Helen. And this is not meant to reveal anything other than stereotypes. Okay, that's it. But when we think of thieves, how would you describe a thief in your mind? First thing you think of?
The masked bandit kind of thief.
Okay, the masked bandit, maybe male.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of?
Yes.
Okay, I'm
yes.
not trying to feed you
no,
that.
But
that's the first thing that comes to my mind is somebody who is a thief, and it's a man.
Mm-hmm.
So what you just said about on the phone, that conversational quality, oftentimes it's a woman that's calling. It's not necessarily a woman by herself, but it's a group that have come together and they have a woman call pretending to be the daughter or granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Just 3 or 4 weeks ago, I interviewed J.J. Surma, who when Ken was out of the out on vacation, it was the first time he's actually been on vacation for 20 years. J.J. was behind. He told the story about how his grandfather got a call from his granddaughter and went to the bank, and the bank president said, hey, let's just stop for just a second, and actually kept him from wiring a lot of money to a fraudster. And it was a woman who'd called pretending to be the granddaughter. And, you know, if you've ever been in a conversation where somebody really doesn't say a whole lot, but you say something and they ask you, why do you feel that way? And you give a little more information. Oh, really? Tell me more. And so ultimately you end up giving. So the grandfather gave a lot of information without the other person. And then the other person gave all that information back. So be wary of what you tell strangers on the phone. Make sure you know who you're talking to at the end of the day.
That's right. I remember standing in a lady's house, and she picks up the phone, and she's continuing with the conversation. I'm saying, hang up, because I knew that that was the ploy that they were using.
Yes. Well, I've actually had fun with these folks on the phone a couple of times when they call and from the IRS.
I got
a call from the IRS. And the guy sounded, it really did sound like he was calling from Bombay, India, from the IRS in Bombay. So he wanted me to get some information for him. And I said, you know, before you do that, I want to let you know you've just won $5,000 by making this call today. You probably were not aware that you were entering a contest. So I just need your bank information so I can send you this $5,000. He hung up the phone. I couldn't appreciate why. So, urgent or rush requests, you know, that's a flag. And the IRS doesn't call, folks. They don't call you. They send you letters. They invite you politely with a real demand to come visit them when it's time. The right listing price can really make the difference between a quick home sale and a long slog. Michelle Lerner from the Washington Post reported on a 7,500-square-foot home in Chevy Chase, Maryland, on almost an acre that was listed at $5.5 million. Now, the agent involved had recommended $4.5 million, and I know there may be many of you who think, well, that's just not even anywhere near what my house is worth, but catch the point. Whether it's a $550,000 house or a $500,000 or $450 house, or it's a $5.5 or $4.5, ultimately, if you overprice your home, you'll pay for it later. I recently separated from a seller of mine that I was representing. The seller and I sat down originally discussed the list price of their property, which I recommended that they try $850 at the high end, but $825 was really market value. We decided before they went on the market in February, they wanted to go for the highest value. After 3 weeks on the market, we came back and said, the price is an issue. You need to adjust now. Remember what I often say, which is that from the middle of February until the end of May, we have our best market. If you make adjustments within the spring market, you're not going to lose the opportunity to have the best demand. You know, they refused to listen, and another few weeks went by, and they refused to listen, which, by the way, is completely in their right because I work for them, and my fiduciary is to tell them what I think, but ultimately to do what they ask. So it's within their rights to say they don't want to take less than the $850. Fine. But ultimately, when it came down to now 2 months have gone by, we're getting to the very end of our spring market climate, and I've recommended the same adjustment, which was ultimately to $825, and they weren't willing to adjust more than about $15,000 to $835. Well, guess what? That $835,000 asking price versus an $850 asking price has no consequential difference in how a buyer perceives that house, nor does it actually put the property into the proper price range where buyers are looking. If homes typically in this neighborhood are selling between $750,000 and $900,000, depending upon size, and this particular size house is really selling between $750,000 in the average condition up to about $825,000, $835,000 on the high side, and you've already had 2 months under your belt, the time to bring the price, the house, to the market has come. As a result of their unwillingness to make a proper adjustment, we agreed to release each other. Now, that's okay. I've wished them well, and there are no hard feelings in the process. It's important to price correctly. It's also important to follow your professional real estate agent's advice. And if you decide not to, well, that's okay too. It's your call because it's your house. Hey, I hope you have a great and wonderful Memorial Day. That wraps it up for Pointing You Home. I'm Eric Stewart. Senior Solutions is straight ahead.
The Eric Stewart Show, Pointing You Home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.